We'll pray for the Megans. I thought maybe two. Yeah, I know. Well, praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so precious how the Lord gathers us one by one. Such as we are, where we are, scattered, you know, here, there, you know, in all kinds of circumstances and situations. And, you know, I think as we were singing that song, that, you know, the woman at the well, you know, that woman at Samaria, and Jesus, you know, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew she was there. He knew what was going to happen. He knew there was an individual who needed that touch from him. And, of course, there were others that believed on him as a result of all of that. But, you know, that's our God. He knows where his people are scattered. He knows where the stray ones are. He knows where the remnant would be. And he knows how to gather us. That's so precious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are going to pray and just talk to the Lord. I'm really happy to hear your nice story, Barb, and I must say yesterday, that was Monday, I guess, we had a nice surprise too. My brother and his wife came by, and I don't get to see them very often. I hardly ever see any members of my family, and they had been in Wisconsin Dells and just a little time off, and thought it wouldn't be just too much for them to come and visit us for the evening, and it was very nice. We had a wonderful time of prayer also, and just talking about the Lord, and, you know, kind of trying to catch up with some things because, oh my, they moved and I didn't even know it. But, you know, I just thank God for precious times like that. You know, I know it means a lot, and how it revives us. Just, you know, see a familiar face sometimes. But sometimes, you know, just to meet a brother or sister in the Lord, too, you know, that has a heart for the Lord, how wonderful it is when we can gather together and have our minds, you know, with a like spirit and be able to, you know, rejoice together. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are going to pray here tonight and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord. Oh, God, that we could gather here tonight in your name. Oh, God, we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you promised to be with us, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, you promised, oh, Lord, that you would send forth your Spirit upon all flesh, God. Oh, Lord, those that would humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and come unto you, Lord. And, oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for those promises that, oh, God, are recorded in your book of life. And, oh, God, we thank you that we can grasp them. Oh, God, that we can look to them, Lord. Oh, God, that we can lean on you, Lord Jesus. Know that you know how, oh, God, not only to gather us initially, to bring us forth as your children, but to keep us in the way, Lord. Oh, God, to feed us. Oh, God, to bring us to those waters of living water. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, to refresh our souls. You know, the things that we have need of as individuals. I pray, oh, Lord, tonight, oh, Lord, that you would move, Lord, that you would put faith in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to draw nigh to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, we just thank you that we can draw nigh to you, Lord. Oh, that our hope, our confidence can be in you, Lord. And God, I just ask also for Barb's need there with that family gathering, that wedding, Lord, that, oh, God, you would mend, oh, Lord, the things that need to be mended, Lord, that there would be no, oh, God, unlike spirits there that would cause division and trouble, Lord, but, oh, God, that you would take care of this matter, Lord. Oh, God, that you would take care of it easily, Lord. And, oh, God, there would be a reconciliation between these Megans, Lord. And, oh, God, everything else, Lord, I pray that you put it in your order, Lord. But we do ask, oh, Lord, we do need you, Lord. Oh, God, we ask that you would bind the strong man and all the things that, oh, God, that tried to disrupt and hinder and cast doubts and bring us down, oh Lord. I pray, oh God, that you lift us up with faith. Oh God, that you lift us up with hope. Oh Lord, that you move in our hearts. Oh God, that you change us. Oh God, that you get us to that higher ground. I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit, O Lord. Oh God, that that mighty, wonderful Spirit would come forth upon us, O Lord. Oh God, before this is over. Oh God, before, oh God, you call in the harvest. I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit upon our flesh. Oh God, oh God, that, oh Lord, your children would be gathered together with you, Lord. Oh, God, and that you would do this work. Oh, Lord, that you would, oh, God, search out the sheep that are lost and bring them into the fold. Oh, God, I ask this in Jesus' name. I ask that you use this message, Lord. Oh, God, I know I cannot do it without your help, Lord. I ask that you would, oh, God, let it develop in the way that you would, oh, God, ordain it to develop, Lord. Oh, God, all these things we give to you, Lord. Oh, God, that you would use this for your name's sake, for your glory. Oh, God, for the hope of our, oh, spiritual lives, oh, Jesus. For we need you, Jesus, and we ask, oh, Lord, for your anointing. Oh, God, for a pouring out of your Spirit. Oh, God, for that faith that we need. Oh, God. Oh, God, that presence that we need. Oh, that touch from you, Lord, that we need. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you gathered us here together. Oh, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been going through the book of Micah, and yes, with the Lord's help, we will continue in that study. We've kind of titled it as Gathered as a Sheep of Bozra. And there's a reason for that. But this portion of Scripture, this book of Micah, has a lot to do with the gathering of the remnant of God's people. And it's a really beautiful theme when we think of it, because if we're in the family of God, we're part of His remnant. You know, it's not all individuals that breathe that are called, but yet the Lord chose to call us as individuals, one by one, and gather us into His fold. And, you know, how could we ever thank the Lord and praise the Lord enough for what He has done? You know, somehow He put it within us. And, you know, that we would even answer the call and give heed and turn our lives over to Him. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Yes, let's go to Micah here. This minor prophet, praise the Lord, who wrote under the inspiration of God, praise the Lord. I just want to begin by reading that 12th verse in chapter 2 here, just, oh yes, to bring it to our to our minds again, to our remembrances here. It says in verse 12, chapter 2 of Micah, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. And we know, yes, as they gather together on that feast day of Pentecost after Jesus had ascended, oh, there was a great noise as the Spirit of God, as the Holy Ghost, was poured out upon all those that were gathered there. All those 120 initially in that upper room. And then as it spread abroad, for there were many, there were people from all parts of the world that were represented there, that all came together, and the Lord had ordained it. The Lord had sent them there. He had called them, and there they were. And I know that many of them were also recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost, that great and wonderful salvation that has been offered to us as the children of God. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. We're going to now look at that fourth chapter. We were in this fourth chapter, I believe, last week, and I think just to get a running start, we're going to go to the sixth verse here and just read the sixth and seventh verse to begin. Praise the Lord. It says in Micah, the fourth chapter, verse 6, "In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever." And this may seem rather strange, you know, that's the ways of our God. His thinking is not like the thinking of average man by any means. Oh my, it's nothing to be compared to the way mortal man thinks, or mortal woman for all of that. You know, his ways are certainly higher than our ways, his thoughts way beyond our thoughts, and all of that. But this is what God chose to do, this gathering together of them that halteth, and those that were driven out, and those that had been afflicted, outcast, so to speak. And the Lord is talking about taking those that halteth and making them a remnant, you know, a part of the family of God, the select family of God, and those that were cast far off, making them a strong nation. And then saying that the Lord would reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And, you know, this Mount Zion that we're talking about is not what so many people think. You know, this Mount Zion is in heaven. And if we go to the Psalms, just that 48 Psalms, we sing this psalm from time to time. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." Oh, yes, it's talking about that heavenly Jerusalem here. Oh, the place where our God reigns. You know, Job talked about that empty place in the north. And indeed, those that work with astronomy know that there's an empty place in the north where there's not stars, constellations. It's an empty spot. But Job talked about that spot. Job said in Job 26, verse 7, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." And you know, that little place where God is, oh, it isn't little, I'm sure. But you know, praise the Lord, that wonderful place where our God reigns, in the city of the great King. Oh, it certainly is beautiful for situation. It certainly is the joy of the whole earth. That's the Mount Zion that we're talking about. Oh, yes. That city where the Lamb is the light. That city that's coming down from God out of heaven. Oh, yes. It's adorned for the bride. It's prepared for those that are part of the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. But I love how it's considered here that God is calling forth his people, the outcasts. You know, not what man would think by any means, but God bringing them together. And, you know, other prophets talked about it. If we go for a moment to Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, we get a little taste of it also, that remnant that the Lord calls. Praise the Lord. And here he's talking about shepherds. Because, you know, we know that God is gathering the remnant of his people as a shepherd would gather his sheep. And we know when Jesus was on this earth, he talked how he was the good shepherd, and how he would give his life for his sheep, and how his sheep would know his voice, and he would be known to them. And you know, they would not go to another, but they would gather to the good shepherd, those that were his. They would know his voice. And praise the Lord, it's just a wonderful thing, that gathering that he did while he was on earth, but that gathering of his remnant, yes, began at that time, and it continues until this very moment. He's still gathering his sheep. We want to call them the sheep of Bozrah, those that are his, those that are part of the remnant that he is calling together. But here in Ezekiel, it's talking about the sheep also. And oh, there were some problems here. It says in Ezekiel 34, as it begins in verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." Oh, the shepherds that were false shepherds that were only taking care of themselves and doing their little duty as they wanted to earn whatever, you know, they could earn, taking advantage of the people, actually fleecing them, but not feeding them spiritually. It says in verse 4 here, "The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them, and they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." And it's so amazing, Jesus too, when he was on this earth and, you know, he was ministering to the people. How did he see them? Oh, he saw them as being scattered. His remnant, the sheep of Bozrah, so to speak, he saw them as being scattered. He saw them as they were fainting. Oh, they didn't have much strength in themselves. They hadn't been nourished. They hadn't been fed. Oh, yes, the religious leaders were just leading them in a false way, bringing forth lies and, you know, feeding themselves, just as this description here in Ezekiel. And Jesus saw them, the ninth chapter of Matthew, as sheep without a shepherd. That's how we saw the sheep. But here it is too, it's talking about how they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And that's pathetic, you know, and this is happening at this moment. You know, the people are so scattered at this moment. It's so hard to find a church where the truth is being taught. Oh, yes, where the ways of God are being proclaimed. And, you know, because the shepherds are false and only taking care of themselves for the most part, the sheep are left as a prey to the beasts of the field, to those that would devour them and take advantage of them. All of that. It says in verse 6 here in Ezekiel 34, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Oh, how pathetic. They didn't know where to go. And, you know, it's like that today. How many people have we heard from that, you know, maybe went to every church for miles around and could not find one that properly taught the Word of God? Most of them didn't even use the King James Bible, and, you know, all kinds of other thoughts and programs and music and events and social gospels and all kinds of things like that. But the sheep are looking And so they were, even in this instance, they were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. It says in verse 7, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. Well, shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it a beautiful story? Jesus being the good shepherd, oh yes, that came to this world, oh yes, to redeem his people, to gather his sheep. And praise the Lord, that process is still going on. Oh yes, he's still calling to his sheep, those that will hear his voice and come unto him. Oh yes, making a way somehow that they can be redirected, that they can find the living waters, that they can find those green pastures. Oh yes, that their soul can be restored. Praise the Lord, that is what our Lord is doing. Praise the Lord. I know Jesus told that parable there in the 15th chapter of Luke. Oh, he talked about how it would be, you know, if you were a shepherd and you had 100 sheep, if you lost one of them, would you not go out and search for the one that was lost? You would leave those 99 that were secure, that were found with a shepherd, with a keeper. But you would go out and search for the one that was lost until he found it. At least that's what a good shepherd would do. And praise the Lord, Jesus said that when that sheep was found, oh, that shepherd would lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he would come home, oh yes, he would call forth his friends and his neighbors and say unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. But that's our gracious Savior, oh, the greatest shepherd of all, who cares for us as individuals and gathers us one by one, going out, oh yes, to find that one that has not yet returned to the fold, or who has maybe not even known how to get to the fold, that one that is out there searching and seeking and still unfound. Oh, our gracious Lord goes about to gather that sheep. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord, a few verses in Jeremiah, the 50th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Oh, praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. I think I'm going to let that one go because at the moment I don't see it. I was finding it at the very last moment. A double duty day today. Oh, praise the Lord. But you know, the Lord gathering his sheep. And there was a beautiful verse. I must have miscopied it. Praise the Lord. But going back here to Micah, here it says those verses where he is gathering those at halt and those that were driven out and those that were afflicted, and his will to make her that halted a remnant. And her that was cast far off, a strong nation. And then that promise that the Lord would reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the city of the living God. Oh, that city which is above. Oh, that place, that Jerusalem that is above, that is free, that is the mother of us all. Praise the Lord. That's where our hope is. We know that here we have no continuing city, we are told in Hebrews that 13th chapter, verse 14. But we seek one to come, don't we? I believe that's what these references are for. Here, continuing in Micah, verse 8, it says, "And thou, O daughter, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." And you know, it was really something, you know, the plan of God to bring forth his kingdom. We know that the prophets had prophesied of it, and they had declared it. And you know, it had been written long before Jesus came to this world, but it was in the plan of God. It had been etched in the mind of God from before the foundation of the earth. And Isaiah had written the familiar scripture there in Isaiah the 9th chapter in verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Okay, so yes, this declaration that a child would be born, a son would be given, the government would be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And praise the Lord, when Jesus Christ came forth, fulfilling that indeed, he was bringing forth a government. He was bringing forth a peace of which there would be no end, as it tells us in that 7th verse of Isaiah 9. And I love how it says, "And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." You know, it would be a kingdom that would never end. And you know, the increase would continue. It was established upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. It was ordered and established with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. And that's
the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Yes, that declared, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Praise the Lord. Yes, when the fullness of the time was come, oh, it all came into fruition. It all came into existence. How it must have been. Oh, yes. As he began to establish the kingdom of God. You know, the book of Luke has quite the story here. And if you just go to a few places quickly, Luke, the first chapter. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. And you know, these were the tidings that Gabriel, the angel, brought to Mary. She was a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, it tells us in the first chapter of Luke. Of the house of David, and her name was Mary. And what a moment that must have been when that angel came unto Mary. It tells us in verse 28 here in Luke 1, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, it says in verse 29, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So all those prophetic utterances were going to be filled very exactly. Oh, yes. And it tells us, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. See, the fulfillment of Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of course, that was a marvel to Mary. You know, how could this be? How shall this be? She asked, seeing I know not a man. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, he was to be born. Yes, the Savior was to come forth at that given time. Oh, yes, come forth as a child, come forth as a son, to be called the Son of God. Oh, to be called the Son of the Highest. And yes, of the house of David, all of those, you know, exact credentials were fulfilled. Exactly. His name being called Jesus, Savior, the Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Hoshua, the one who would come forth to redeem us. Of course, as Jesus' ministry came forth in the fourth chapter of Luke, after he had been baptized of John to fulfill Scripture. And then, you know, we know that he went into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil for 40 days, overcame, praise the Lord. And then he came forth to minister. Tells us in verse 14 of chapter 4 of Luke, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. But it was necessary, obviously, that he go to Nazareth. And here it tells us in verse 16, And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And now he's reading from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Oh, praise the Lord. What was our Lord doing? Here he had come forth, oh, the mighty one, the Son of the Highest, God robed in flesh, come to this world, born of a virgin. Oh yes, as a man with flesh, he had come to this world, and there he is presenting the good news. Oh, his mission, that he was going to bring forth the gospel, the kingdom of God. He was going to declare it, and there he read from Isaiah 61. Praise the Lord, oh yes. Those eyes were fastened on him as he read. And yes, as he continued his ministry, he was bringing forth the kingdom of God. That is what he was doing. He was bringing it forth. And, you know, at that point he came to those that were Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was specifically his mission at that moment. But praise the Lord, there were other sheep that he was going to reach out for. And oh yes, even while he was ministering, there were just a few Gentiles that seemed to, oh yes, somehow get in the picture, that had faith in their hearts, and Jesus could see it. And oh, praise the Lord, he ministered to them too. Tells us in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." I believe he had to hit all the spots. He had to gather all those that were his, those that possibly had ears to hear and eyes to see. That is what Jesus was doing. He was presenting the kingdom of God to his people, to the remnant of Israel. The glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And yes, it tells us here in that 8th chapter, he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. In the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, it tells us in the first verse, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And praise the Lord. See, so it started with Jesus ministering and going forth, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, opening the blind eyes, teaching, oh yes, to the poor that were poor in spirit, to those that had ears to hear, eyes to see. And then he gave power to the 12 that he had appointed as apostles. And he gave them power and authority over devils, and also power to cure diseases. And then he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Praise the Lord. So they went forth. And I love how he told them they didn't have to take things with them, that all their needs would be provided, you know, and, you know, where they were received to stay and to teach the kingdom of God and to do whatever works that they could do in those places to which they were sent. Praise the Lord. But that is what Jesus' ministry was all about. And in the 11th chapter of Luke, you know, there were some, oh yes, they obviously did not have spiritual insight. They could not have possibly have recognized Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah. because it tells us here in Luke, the 11th chapter, in verse 14, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Oh, and they were talking about an impossibility. You know, there was no way Jesus was casting out devils by Beelzebub. But here it is in verse 20. He declared, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Oh, yes, that was clear evidence. The casting out of devils of the kingdom of God had come unto them. But praise the Lord. Jesus came, yes, to establish his kingdom of first dominion here, as Micah, the 4th chapter, verse 8, describes, coming to the daughter of Jerusalem. But now, the next few verses go back to the time at hand. It says there in verse 9, or the time that, you know, the prophet was declaring, the time that he lived, Micah, says in verse 9, now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pains have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hands of thine enemies. Interesting. So here, yes, now he's going back to the period of which he lived, and he, there was a cry that was going to come forth, because by prophetic utterances it was known that God was going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take Judah and Benjamin, to take Jerusalem, that the temple would be brought down and many of them would be taken to Babylon. They would go out of the city, and they would dwell in the field, and they should go even to Babylon. But praise the Lord, there was a promise that was included with that, a very beautiful promise. And if we go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, we can read of that. Jesus actually, or I should say God at that point, Jesus was not yet born into this world as the Son of God. But God had ordained all of this, and he was actually going to use their being carried off into Babylon for their own good. As strange as that might sound, here it tells us in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So in spite of the fact that many of them were going to be carried off into Babylon, they were still going to prosper. The Lord was going to be with them. They were going to increase and not be diminished. And it tells in verse 7, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So you see, in the midst of, you know, this knowledge that they were going to be carried off, yet they were also promised that they would be able to return. When it was that time for them to come back, the Lord working it all out according to His directive, according to His timing, according to His purpose. Verse 11 is beautiful here in this 29th chapter of Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, there's a lot in those verses. Oh, the Lord knew that there would be a time that they would pour out their hearts to the living God. And He was allowing them to go to Babylon. It was actually for their own benefit. It was not for evil on their part, but it was for their greater end. And He knew that, oh yes, there would be that time that they would call upon Him and they would pray unto Him and He would hearken unto them. He knew that there would be that time that they would seek Him. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, what a scripture that is. Oh, what a scripture that is. You know, there are many people that want a little of God. They want a little part of God. They want the good things of God. But are they really searching with all their heart? Oh, there's a promise here. That ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, the soul crying out with all the strength, with all desire for the living God. And the promise, verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And yes, they were carried away into many diverse places. Oh, yes, it was accomplished. It did, yes, come to pass that they were carried away. But there was that promise that they would be brought back, that God would bring forth a remnant of them back. And they would, oh, yes, be reestablished. Even in their land, that would be the first regathering there. Oh, yes. And it tells us here in Micah, again, verse 10, oh, yes. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion, let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel. For He shall gather them as the sheaves unto the floor. Oh, praise the Lord. Our gracious God, you know, there would be many that would oppose them even in that time. But yes, the promise that they would be gathered as sheaves onto the floor, the threshing floor, where the wheat is threshed. He would gather His people. He told a parable like that, didn't He? You know, the wheat being the people of God. The chaff, the flyaway stuff that wasn't part of the genuine wheat would be cast away, wouldn't it? It would fly off. You know, when they were threshing the wheat, the chaff would fly. It would stay. It was too light. It wasn't part of the genuine product that they were looking for. But that's what God was going to do for His people. He was going to gather them as sheaves unto the floor, the threshing floor. And what a thing here. You know, nations gathered against them. And you know, in this day that we live, there is opposition. Oh, I don't think if we're really living for God, we're going to win popularity contests. I don't think everybody is going to like us. In fact, you know, Jesus said, woe be to you if, you know, every man loves you, every woman loves you. Yeah, paraphrasing here. You know, no, if we're really the children of God, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that, you know, resent us. They don't like us because we stand up for things that are right. We come against the evil, and you know, we have to make pronouncements at times. Oh yes, we have to stand up for the things that are right. And you know, many people don't love us because of that. In fact, they may hate us. They may persecute us. Oh yes, they may kill us. You know, that's entirely possible. But the Lord has promised that He would gather His people together. That great day of His gathering together, the elect, His remnant, His seed. Oh yes, is forthcoming. We don't know the day or the hour. Oh yes, but we know that He is going to come suddenly, and He's not going to tarry. All at once, that cry is going to come forth. The sound of the trumpets. Oh, and the gathering of His people together. Oh, yes. As the sheep of Basra. Oh, as He gathers His remnant together. Oh, yes, that call goes forth at this moment. That call to those that are the Lord's. Some may not yet know it. Some are out there. Oh, far away even. But the Lord knows how to gather them. Oh, yes, He knows how to make Himself known. He knows how to present His ways to His people. He's going to use His shepherds. Oh, yes, we who have been called, we who know the Word of God, praise the Lord, we have a message to bring forth. We have work to do in this world where it is so dark and the need is so great. But the Lord has promised to gather forth His people. And it tells us in verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, honestly, the Lord knows how to give us strength that we don't have in ourselves. And I believe, you know, He's talking to a people that lived back then. But I believe this pertains to God's remnant right now, we as His people, we as His elect. Oh, this call here to arise and thresh. In other words, to go forward. Oh, daughter of Zion, for it says, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. You know, God's people are a people that are not defeated. The Lord knows how to give us favor. He knows how to give us strength. He knows how to help us to walk on our high places. He knows how to help us to do things that we could never do of ourselves. Praise the Lord, that's why He gave us of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, so that we could have a strength that is greater than our own strength. That we could have a power that is greater than any power that a man can have on his own. We can have authority with God. Praise the Lord, yes. Jesus said it like this in Luke the 10th chapter, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord, that's the authority we have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, that authority to tread, to trample, to walk on those serpents, on those scorpions, those devils that try to take the advantage. Oh, to try to hinder, to try to make us afraid. Oh, we have power over them. We have power over all the enemy, He tells us here. Oh, Jesus said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord, that's the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's what He's given us as His children. Oh, yes. Making, yes, that horn iron and our hoofs brass and beat in pieces many people. Consecrate their gain, you know? Oh, the things that they perhaps try to take advantage of in opposition to us. But the Lord turning things around and giving us authority over them. Oh, there's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah chapter 54, if you'd like to go there for a moment. Praise the Lord, Isaiah 54, verse 17, as this chapter ends, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Do we grasp this? It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. But He, the Almighty One, has given us authority. Oh yes, to come against the enemy. To come against those powers that be. Oh yes, there's a lot going on in this world, even right now. There's a division in this country of the United States like I have never seen in my past. And there is an angry devil that is obviously stirred up the hearts of those people that are revolting in their hearts and in their minds and coming against authority, trying to bring it down, trying to trample it in their own way. But the Church of the Living God has greater authority. Oh, we have great authority in God. We can just grasp this. Oh, this authority that we have in Jesus. Those weapons that come against us, whatever kind they are, there's all kinds of possibilities. For we know there are many unclean spirits that try to rise up. There's all kinds of other things in this world that, you know, are negative. And you know, would like to use that negativity to discourage us and to hinder us, to send us away, and, you know, scatter us, make us to flee and make us to fear. But we have the promises of God the promise that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And those tongues that, rise up against us, and false witnesses. Oh, there's so many of those even at this moment. But praise the Lord, we've got a promise that we, through the authority that is given us by the Holy Ghost, can and shall condemn those false spirits that rise up, those false tongues that wag and try to declare things that are untrue. The Lord turning it all around. Oh yes, the Lord giving His people favor. Sometimes I wonder, God's promises are yea and amen. Why is it at times that we have so much trouble grasping the promises of God? Why is it that at times we fear? What are these things that try to hinder us? Oh, if we can get to that place where that is beyond us, when we realize the authority that we have in the Lord Jesus, all the authority we have by the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, there is a way that we can rise up and walk in faith. Oh, fear is not of God. Perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But praise the Lord gives us a boldness. Oh, the early church noticed that there, the third and fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, yes, Peter and John, they had caused that lame man to be healed. And what a wonderful miracle that was. That man who had been lame from his birth. But praise the Lord, the authorities, the religious people were all upset by what had happened. And oh, here it is. You've got the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're standing before these powers that be. Talks about Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest that had gathered together in Jerusalem here, the fourth chapter of Acts. And oh, they're trying to intimidate them. In verse 7 here in Acts 4, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? But praise the Lord, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Oh, they declared, this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, they declared it clearly. Oh, to these people, oh yes, these religious people, these authorities. And what did they note? Verse 13 here it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you what it shows when we are with Jesus. Oh, yes, when we've drawn nigh to Jesus, when we've been in His presence. Oh, yes, when the Holy Ghost has fallen upon us. Oh, yes, the Lord is going to put His Spirit upon us in such a way that it is reflected on our faces, in our actions, in our words. They could see the boldness that was in Peter and John. Oh, they weren't afraid. They weren't trembling. Oh, my, they were standing strong. They didn't clam up. But they declared it, "Oh, yes, this is a stone which ye builders have set at naught, but has become the head of the corner. Oh, praise the Lord, and there is not salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Oh, yes, that was the gospel, clear and simply. But they looked at those men. Oh, they knew that they were unlearned, that they were ignorant men. They had not been to the schools. They had not been to the seminaries. They had not been taught officially, so to speak. They marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they tried to, you know, put that fear tactic on them, you know, commanding them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But they spoke and said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. I love it. They went back to the company and reported how the chief priests and the elders had treated them. But did they, you know, all, you know, tremble in fear and hide behind the desk, so to speak? No, when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them, that in them is." And oh, yes, they went on. They said, "Behold the threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." And they asked that God would further stretch out his hand to heal, and signs and wonders would be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Praise the Lord, that place was shaken. That they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the power of God. Oh, yes, God has given us a strength that is greater than any strength of this world. Oh, yes. He knows how to make us strong, give us the ability to stand so that those that are without cannot withhold the words with which we speak. And so that any weapon that would be formed against us would not be able to prosper. Oh, praise the Lord, the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of God, is of me, the scripture declares. But praise the Lord, yes, though they were going to be carried off into Babylon, the Lord was going to bring them back in that time of old Israel. And praise the Lord, he was going to gather them together as sheaves unto the floor, that gathering of his remnant. Oh, yes, as the sheep of Bozrah. Praise the Lord, God's promises. Praise the Lord, so we can arise and thresh and go forth, because the Lord is with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That would be the fourth chapter there, the book of Micah. Praise our God. We have a mighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have power with God, and he's here to meet our needs. Oh, yes, to heal our infirmities, to fill us with the Holy Ghost, and to give us a power that this world does not have, an authority that this world does not have. But we have it through the blood of Jesus Christ, in the authority of his name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 77 and sing, "In the Name of Jesus, We Have the Victory," number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.